Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarana 1 Description of the form of Bhagavan. Page 71. That Sarup Shakti, represented by such knowledge, is seen in the pure Jiva, also known as Brahman. One can infer that the Shakti exists in the Supreme Brahman, who is the equivalent of infinite Jivas, just as seeing the ray of light, one can infer the sun. Ya Atmanam Antaro Yamayati. The Lord regulates the Jiva from within. Saptapada Brahmana 14:6-7:30. Or the Shakti is understood by knowledge of the Supreme, who is an ocean of knowledge, Jnani, by understanding that he creates, maintains, and destroys the universe. This Shakti is called Maya. This Shakti is like a special power, Vidya, belonging to powers, knowers of mantras. It is natural to the Lord, since it is similar to him. Knowledge or power, Maya, belonging to the Lord who controls Maya, is not bewildering to the Lord, since, as a special power, that power is within the Lord's knowledge and is incomplete in itself as knowledge. Right? You get bewildered by something you don't know about. Right? You know something, but you don't know. Like something happens, oh, how did that happen? That's amazing. Right? So that, because you don't know, you get bewildered. Because Krishna knows everything. He pervades everything. He is knowledge. He can't be bewildered. So even though he has his special potencies that bewilder other living entities, they can't bewilder him because he knows everything. That power is within the Lord's knowledge and is incomplete in itself as knowledge, right? Because on its own, just knowing Shakti, you don't actually have full knowledge. You have to know the Shakti Man. Right? Without knowing Krishna, you don't actually understand Shakti. So that's why you can't really understand the Jiva until you understand the Lord. That's why for the devotees, being on Vijnana Maya is basically a platform to get to Anandamaya, because the consciousness is towards Anandamaya, right? But they're situated on the Vijnanamaya, because they know they're... Oh, I forgot. So, the living entity, if all they know is Brahman, but don't know the Supreme Lord, means they only know that aspect of the energy and his impersonal feature. So they don't actually know more. They don't know complete. So they are situated in the Vijnanamaya as an end. Right? It's their terminal position. While for the devotees, it's the beginning position. Does that make sense? Because you start off, we're not the body, we're the soul. And that's the main basis. So that means it's above Manamoya, where it's you accept, we know we're not the body with the soul, but the focus is still on fruit of work, where you're trying to get facility for the body. Right? Does that make sense?
What? So then, as you mentioned, so does it imply that it means that God realization is the first step towards self-realization?
God realization is the first step, means you're going to, both happen at once, right? Because the point is the Lord's light is there, so knowledge about the Lord is there, and then you see the sun. But when the light is there, you see yourself. Because you can't really see yourself without God. But seeing God means, so God doesn't include the living entities?
It does.
So then how can it be separate?
It does.
The point is the Lord is non-dual. So him and his energies are non-dual. So it means if you properly understand one, you understand the other. Because the energy can't be without the energetic. And energetic means there's energy. Difference is he is the controller of the energy and we're not. And so that's the mistake. We're thinking, I'm the controller. So I'm going to be the one that's going to be happy by controlling the energy. But we can't control it. We're controlled by it. And so we end up not very happy.
So when this impersonalists speak about self-realization...
They talk about self-realization means they're understanding that they are Brahman and that there is Brahman. But because they don't, they think they don't really exist, so they don't actually... How is that self-realization? Mm-hmm. If you realize that I am Brahman, and so as a living entity, I don't exist anymore. So how much self-realization is it? That's why it said... That knowledge of Brahman, it's vague. Vague means it's not really clear. Right? So, and they don't know the Lord because they only know him as Brahman, but they only know that aspect. They don't understand his energies. So they can't understand Paramatma or Bhagavan. So they have a touch of a little bit of understanding. That's why we're saying they're on the Vijnanamaya platform, but material.
Yes.
Well, the devotees are not Vijnana Maya engaged in Krishna service, so it's just a platform of goodness that when they're not in pure goodness.
Yes.
In other words, if they're in pure goodness, they're working in Ananda Maya, but if they aren't so Krishna conscious, they fall back down into goodness. Because then they have their sadhana, they have the pancharatrik system to, you know, how you say, keep them in the proper place.
Okay.
Thus, it is called his own Shakti and is understood by knowledge arising from his Sarup. Right? So, understanding the nature of the Lord, his form, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, that's then how you understand the Shakti. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinam cha maheshwaram. One should know Prakriti and the Lord who controls it. Sweta Sutara Upanishad 4:10. Right? They go together. It's not one or the other. By the Sarup Shakti, the knower and knowledge are understood, I guess what? To exist as one energy, entity. Purva-vad-va, or the dual nature of the Lord can be compared to time, which is essentially one, but has past, present, and future. Brahma Sutra 3:230. Right? So there is only one time. Right? But it has the features of past, present, and future. But it's still just time. So in the same way, the Lord, he is one entity, but he has features of Shakti Shaktiman, or as Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. They're features. Does that make sense? So they're all, it's non-different. That's why he's said to be non-dual. Does that make sense? So that. Sa Bhagava Kashmin Pratishta Iti Sve Mahim Ni. Dear sir, in what is the Supreme situated? The Supreme Lord is situated in its own glory. Chandogya Upanishad 7:24:1. Or the Shakti is proved by realization of the learned, Jnani, experiencing the waves of pure bliss of the Lord's powers in Vaikuntha. Te jnana yoga nu gata apasyan devatma shaktim sva guner nigudham. Those who are devoted to meditation and yoga have seen the Shakti of the Lord, which are hidden by his qualities. Sweta Svatara Upanishad 1:3. Right, so then we can learn about this from the great personalities who have realized. Right? Even if we don't understand the logic that's being presented, it's also presented by them. But just that they say they have seen it, this is what it is, and we accept that. In this way, having that devotion, that faith, we can see. So that's the thing, is that if one can relate to the mechanical aspects of logic that go through showing the Lord, but those are coming down through parampara, we can understand by the Lord's grace. And if not, then just having that faith in the great personalities, they explain it, and so therefore we accept it, you will also know. So the point is, since it's the nature of the soul, everybody can understand the Supreme and their relation. Thus, the Lord's Antaranga or Surup Shakti has been explained. Surup Bhutaya Nitya Shaktya Maha Kyaya Yuta Ato Maya Mayam Vishnum Pravadhanti Sanatanam. The Lord is endowed with His eternal Surup Shakti called Maya. Thus, the sages called eternal Vishnu Maya Mayam Chaturveda Sikha. Right? Because remember the aspect of Maya being Miyate, which is to measure. So how you're measuring things, how you, I mean, you're going to deal with something because you're comparing it. Like if I say, like let's say, previously, if you were in Mayapur, you know, 10 years ago, then the conch building was a big building, and the samadhi was huge. You know, it's just, you know, samadhi's big, and so you compare things to the samadhi. You know, so then, you know, like that. So you went to, I remember we're driving, I'm not sure what road it was, but it's some main road in Moscow. It's like 12 lanes wide. And as you're going down the street, there's these buildings, Soviet buildings. They're like one block is one building. And so they were big. You know, but then you can compare them like to the samadhi and stuff like that. Then they started on the big temple. After that, nothing looked big. You know, the conch building looked like a, you know, a little box, and the samadhi was, you know, an okay, like, you know, I said like 4-bedroom house kind of thing. You know, just nothing was big anymore. So that's me, how you measure.
Right?
So then you're either measuring by Mahamaya, right? And then how you're going to control and enjoy the modes of nature, how they do like this, or the internal potency and how it's pleasing to Krishna. What's the mood? What's the attitude? Does that make sense? So he's always in control of his Maya. And he is seen by that. So that's why he says he appears according to his internal potency. So when he takes the size of being that perfect middle size, medium size, right? You know, he's not big like Bhima, but he's not small like Mamanadev. Right? You know, that perfect middle size. Then that'll, here will be for us middle size. But if he's on Brahma Loka, it'll be middle size for them. Which will be, you know, ridiculously large for us. You know, that makes sense. You know, you like be looking at the, if you look up, you'll look at the underside of his toenails. You know, that kind of, yeah. So by he appears, and that's his size, is that perfect middle size. So depending upon the devotee who he's interacting with, then he'll be that middle size according to that aspect. Does that make sense? The word Maya has two functions, one of which refers to the Surup Shakti. According to its function, differences arise in this one Shakti. Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. The Lord is said to have variety in His Shakti. Sweta Sutara Upanishad 6.8. So, there's two functions, the internal and external. But within them, then according to the function, they'll have variation within it. So the internal potency will have variety as its Surup, and the external potency will have variety as its Surup. Right? And both of those are different features of the one unlimited Surup internal potency, or the Surup Shakti. That makes sense. It is also said, the goddess endowed with all Shaktis is called the unlimited Shakti. She is eternal bliss, eternal in form, and fully conscious. They call her the eternal Atma, Chaturveda Shiva. Right? So here we have the Jiva we're used to calling as Atma, and Krishna, because he's the supreme Atma and the life of all Atmas, then he is also known as Atma. But now we're seeing here is that the internal, his potency, because that is what is pervading everything and giving the life. That's how Krishna gives life to everything. She's also known as Atma. So that's why when the Upanishad says one should know Atma, that means, you know, everything. The Lord, his potencies, and the living entity. Yeah. Ashrutam Shrotri Adrishtam Drashtri. This Akshara is the seer but unseen, is the hearer but unheard. Vid Aranyaka Upanishad 3:8-11. Right? A devotee yesterday was upset because there was contradiction in his mind in the verse in Bhagavad Gita. Wait until he gets to Upanishads. Okay. Right? Yeah. So, the seer but unseen means he sees everything because he knows everything. He pervades everything. He is everything. So, therefore, he sees everything. But he is unseen. Those who don't know him can't see him. Even everything around you is Brahman. It's all Krishna. Right? In his impersonal feature and to his potencies. But we don't, unless it is by the grace of the devotees and the Lord, you can't see. You just think you're surrounded by dead matter. And that's it. But the only reason we're interested in this dead matter is because of how Krishna is pervading it and giving it all his potencies are pervading. It means you have the unconscious potencies, but you also have the other aspects that are the transformation of his conscious potencies and how they're pervading. Does that make sense? So you have the upadana, means the ingredients, you know, the earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And there are different combinations to make all the different forms. Right? But you also have the jiva maya, how the internal potency has then transformed. And I was bewildering the living entity because he's attracted by that particular combination of ingredients, of upadana. Does that make sense? Yeah, because it's not the upadana itself that is attracting us. But we think that's what it is. It's the jiva maya that's pervading it. Just like the jivas in the body's dead matter. What makes the dead matter move? It's the life airs, the life force. Krishna's that life force, not the jiva. The life force is there when the jiva is there, but it's not that he is. His consciousness pervades. But it's not that he's the force that makes this body work. That's Krishna. So technically, we'll say when the soul leaves the body, that's called death. But that's because that's what's going on. The body is about the jiva being there. But the real thing is the super soul leaves, so therefore the life force goes. Right? But the Lord always stays with the living entity, so they all go together. One big happy band. Hmm. Yes?
Yes. Maharaj, we can see that the process of seeing the Lord or the devotee is twofold. One is when, through knowledge, we see that everything is connected to Krishna and everything is from Krishna. And then the actual seeing comes.
What is actual seeing?
Seeing him face to face.
Seeing him face to face. So then what would be the difference?
Difference would be...
You understand? In other words, there's a difference. Why is there a difference? Otherwise, we just take it, we see him through knowledge, or we see him face to face. But that's in the category of knowledge, knowing those two. So what makes the difference between the one understanding and the other?
Other one is a person directly interacting.
Other one's a person. And why would that make a difference? How do you know the person? Can you know the person through knowledge?
Through knowledge and through mercy.
Through knowledge and through mercy. So they're kind of equal weighted. Just like the quality of the vegetables and Krishna's eating it is kind of like equal in how good the prasad will be. You understand? This is where we get stuck. This is the conditioning. Is we're using knowledge as a medium to serve the Lord. It's not that that knowledge itself or jnana itself reveals the Lord. It's everywhere it states that won't happen. It's that you're doing service by worshiping Krishna with the intelligence. Being pleased with that service, he reveals himself. It's not because you have knowledge, you know, Krishna. Yes. So therefore, the difference is the devotion. That devotion, that faith. So that's why it's always said that one has to be very careful about these kind of understandings. Otherwise we think it's because I'm so intelligent. That's why I know the Lord. Like I said, if on the same day someone who's a PhD joins the temple and someone who used to work, you know, mopping floors at McDonald's joins the temple. After, you know, the one who is a PhD will catch the words of some of these very quickly. And it will be considered by that person and probably many others that they're more advanced because they were a PhD. But in reality, it has to do with the devotion. It has zero to do with the background. I mean, absolutely zero. Right? Because if it was about knowledge and that was the qualification, wouldn't basically all the people in our movement all be PhDs or, you know, at least, you know, I mean, if they joined earlier, okay, they're still working on their undergraduate or stuff like that. And, you understand? It would be like that, and then we wouldn't hardly have any just general people because, you know, they're not smart enough. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that if it's used for, it's a very natural way to do something for Krishna, just like if you can manage, then you can do nice service for Krishna by helping with the organization and administration of the society. And then that way you can do so many nice things for Krishna. Same way, someone who has some kind of intellectual ability, then they can use that for Krishna. But it's not that it's any better than something else. Does that make sense? It's just a matter of whatever your conditioning you're using for Krishna. Just like the gopis, are they sitting around and discussing Vedanta? Mm-hmm. No. And so, but they're considered the best devotees. Like that. So we always have to understand, if one has it, one uses it. It's not that being intelligent is bad, or being a manager is bad, or being good at, dealing with economics is bad, you know, or any art or skill is bad, or professionalism is bad. It's a problem when it gets in the way. It becomes a stumbling block on the way to devotion to Krishna, because one thinks that because of that, that's why I'm advanced. That's why I understand. And that's why others don't. Does that make sense? So it's devotion. Yeah. So that's what we're seeing. The difference between seeing and not seeing is devotion. It has nothing to do with knowledge. But one who therefore has that devotion, he gains knowledge. So one should be open to it, because it said we're supposed to study, you know, Prabhupada's books. We're supposed to study the books of the Acharyas. And so by studying that, naturally then we'll learn these things. But it means something to us because of the devotion. Because otherwise there are academics who have degrees in the Sandarbhas, but wouldn't understand one syllable of the Sandarbhas in reality. You know? Like that. So that, therefore, sometimes it's sort of, oh, you would get down on all these people. We only do that because it gets in the way of their devotion. But otherwise, being intelligent, being professional, being responsible, like that, you know, being able to endeavor, get things done, it's a good thing. It just needs to be used for Krishna. So. In the Madhyadina Shruti, though it explains merging in Brahman, also accepts that Brahman is endowed with all Shaktis and has perfect Sarup. Right? So therefore merging in Brahman means you're absorbed in Brahman. Right? So therefore merging in Brahman means that one is always absorbed in Krishna and his perfect Sarup with his Shaktis and the pastime, his name, form, qualities, and pastime. And that's all you're thinking about. That's merging in Brahman. Because it means everything being transcendental, being Brahman, being Krishna, one's absorbed in that. That's why you see is that Prabhupada, when he's talking about the impersonalist, or especially the Mayavadis, he's saying exclusive monism. Because they only see that aspect of that we're all one, but they don't see the difference. Right? So then that means they don't actually see. The person fixed in Brahman, leaving his material body, achieves the Lord and sees by the Lord, hears by the Lord, and experiences everything by the Lord alone. Madhyandina Shruti. So now is that they only see that which is connected to the Lord. So when they leave, then they achieve the Lord. And so therefore, everything they see is only connected to the Lord. Everything they hear is only connected to the Lord. Everything they experience is only connected to the Lord. So, yes. It is explained by knowing Brahman, everything becomes known. Yina shrutam shrutam bhavat yat yamatam matam avigyatam vigyatam. Have you asked about the ruler by which the unheard becomes heard? The inconceivable becomes conceived, and the unknown becomes known. Chandogya Upanishad, right? So, but the ruler, the measure, how to, have you heard about the measurement by which the unheard becomes heard? Right? Means how do you know transcendence? How do you measure transcendence? What's the measure? Right? Because it's not material. It's spiritual. So it has to be, how you say, devotion. How you can measure things is by its devotion to Krishna. How it's pleasing to Krishna. That's the measurement. That's what pure devotion is. It's always about Krishna. It's about Krishna. You're conscious of Krishna, just about Krishna, no karma and jnana. It's about favorable to Krishna. That's how you measure. So that verse by Rupa Goswami of Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam, that is the measure. So everything that we deal with, if we measure it by that, then we'll always be on track. So if we're looking at something, okay, which should we do? Should we use this, you know, method or that method? Which one will bring about Krishna consciousness? Which one will bring about a result of pleasing Krishna?
Mark?
Yes.
Can we say that when we do it on a personal level, then it would be according to our conditioning. And when we do in general, like on a level of principle, then we use a Chintya Veda Veda Tattva as philosophy to measure everything?
Yes, you could. But the point is you can still use all these connected to the Lord.
Of course, but I'm just saying that because when
means within the measure you're going to have, it's applied, because Krishna being everything, then you can apply that measure on the transcendental, on the spiritual, the metaphysical, the physical, you know, the mental or intellectual, all these different aspects. But the ultimate point is that you're measuring how will this be pleasing to Krishna. Right? So that's why then, since it's about pleasing, if our goal is simply to please Krishna, and we don't know Krishna, but the acharyas know Krishna, then the acharyas, their directions that they give how to please Krishna, that would be what we'd use as our tools. And then it would be, they give what the principle is, they give what your ideal application is, and then we would be judging by that. The principle is always there, and we would try to get as close to that ideal, you know, situation and application and results as possible. And if not, we get as close as we can. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, so it's like you're cooking, you want to get the vegetable to be, you know, a perfect golden brown, like that. But you're happy that it's not black or it's not white. So it's something in between, then it's okay. Does that make sense? So the point is you're trying to get as close as possible. That's then how you judge whether it's a value or not. That's yukta vairagya. Because this yukta is connected to Krishna, and you're doing it because it's pleasing to Krishna, not because of your own gain you'll get. That's yukta vairagya. This idea is I take whatever I'm attached to and connect it to Krishna. That's a beginning stage. That's a neophyte stage. It's not actually an advanced stage. So then to say we're not the body Prabhu and present it as if it's like, you know, Paramahamsa level, it's cheating. You're cheating yourself in that you're taking something that's of less quality. So therefore it's that, oh, we're using this for Krishna. But why are you using it for Krishna? Right? Is it because it's purely pleasing to Krishna, or is it because we like doing that? And then because you're doing it in devotion and ultimately offering the result to Krishna, that would be pleasing to Krishna. But there's also the option of doing it in a way that it would be pleasing for Krishna from the beginning. You know, but so we have to be careful not using these things to avoid pure devotion. You know, and then claiming that it's equal to or even better. You know, we're not from the Vedic culture, so what we're doing is even better. You know, does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that, you know, because we'll have the thing of institutional. So institutional means, you know, you're making that. So let's say you have the standard issued part, right? And so, you know, it'll be okay if it's from a good company. But now you'd have the mechanic and that who's, you know, very expert in that. He'll take it and modify it, and now it'll be better. Right? So you have, you know, does that make sense? You know, it's like you have the Mercedes and you have the AMG, so they've done something with it, or Brabus, or, you know, they do something with it, and then it's better. Does that make sense? So the difficulty comes down is there's this idea that it's coming par and par, this and that, it's all very institutional and that, I can make it better. No, you can apply it to yourself. And so that's always the fourth consideration is how it applies to myself and my situation. How I can use it. And so that always has to be done. So Yukta Vairagya has to take that into place. So time, place, and circumstance means it comes down to that place. It doesn't start there. That's the problem. The Vedic, you start at the top, come down to the situation. And in the modern, we'll throw that out, the descending process for the ascending, by saying, oh no, but you know, Prabhu, what about time, place, and circumstance? We have to be practical. And so they start the inductive of this ascending method, and then somehow or another claim that it's going to get you to Krishna. Right? But because being devotees, they'll connect it to Krishna at some point or some way. They will get benefit and they'll advance. But the problem is they're dragging along all the anarthas with it and suffering all the obstacles that come along, and it may even disturb others. But devotees are advancing because they do connect things to Krishna. But Rupa Goswami is saying how to do it, make it more smooth, make it nicer. So, yeah. Okay. All things are produced from the Lord Shakti. It is impossible to have all knowledge by knowing an object with no qualities. Right? So therefore, understanding Brahman is the Mayavadi saying, where it's Brahman with no qualities, then how can you have any knowledge? Because knowledge comes because of understanding the Shaktis. Right? That's how we're going to know the Lord is there, because of his Shaktis. Only because of the Lord's Shaktis, the promise that by knowing Brahman all things are known becomes true. So when you understand that Brahman has Shaktis, and it's the transformation of the Shaktis that you get this material world, then you can understand is that therefore we just have to take it back and transform it back to its natural position. So what's the difference between the internal and the external? One is used in Krishna service, one's not. It means by us. Maya herself is doing service to Krishna, so she's transcendentally situated. You don't have to worry about her. Right? It's we're not seeing it connected to Krishna. So when you see that what is transformed in this world in connection with Krishna, then you're working under Yoga Maya. You're not working under Mahamaya. But it doesn't mean that it's not working with inferior energy. Just the results will be superior. Only because of the Lord Shakti, okay, the promise that by knowing Brahman all things are known becomes true. That's why it says once when you know Brahman, then you'll know all things, right? Also it is said, Sa Brahma Vidyam Sarva Vidya Pratishtam Atarvayam Jeshta Putraya Praha. He spoke about knowledge of Brahman, which contains all knowledge, to his eldest son, Atarva, Mundaka Upanishad 1.1.1. An example is given. Oh, so that's how it starts out. So the Upanishad just starts. He explained Brahman to his son. So that's why Tato Brahma Jigyasa. That's where you start. Right? An example is given. Som Yaikena Mrit Pindena Sarvam Mrin Mayam Vigyatam. One piece of clay. By one piece of clay, all things made of clay are known. Chandogya Upanishad 6.1.4. Right? Because if you understand clay, you understand all things made from clay. Pots manifest from a lump of clay. By showing the clay, it is possible to know about the pots, since one can accept Satkaryavad. Effects are latent in the cause. Vivartavad says that the transformations of clay are unreal. Right, so you take the clay and turn it into a pot. It's not really a pot. It's just clay. In one sense, yes, it is just clay. That's why it has its nature. you have to deal with a clay pot because it's clay. But if it's a metal pot, it has slightly different dealings. But at the same time, is because they say it's completely unreal, right? Because of their exclusive monism, then they don't understand variety and nature and qualities in things. Yes.
So basically, they want to keep everything on a general kind of level. They don't want to personalize things.
No, because their problem is that personal means it means pain. It was just like the cow was in the barn; it caught on fire. Now, anytime it sees red fire, it gets upset. So for them, anytime you bring up name, form, qualities, past times, they get upset because they've had such a bad experience that they just want to give all that up. You know? So this lifetime, it may or may not be such a bad experience, but you know, for so many lifetimes, that's been their mentality. Right? Yeah. So, like thinking a rope is a snake and cannot be accepted by the person desiring the truth. So you're thinking the rope is a snake. But to explain their example, they're using two different things that have different forms, that have similar nature. Because you'd have to, you know, accept that a rope has one nature, you know, and application, a snake has another. Though there's something common that you could mistake them. So there is a oneness and there is a difference. So that's the fun. Everyone's going to use a Chitta Bheda Bheda Tattva to try to establish their philosophy, but without accepting a Chitta Bheda Bheda Tattva. That's the fun part. Right. They'll have to. They'll use the personal to explain the impersonal, because you can't explain something with no qualities and actually gain knowledge of it. Right. Right. You gain knowledge of something because you see something. Right. There's an object. So when there's an object of knowledge, you can see. But Brahman, by them, cannot be an object, because that means then there's two. Right. So they're not accepting the Shaktis, and so that way, then there is two by difference, or Vishesha, but at the same time there's one, because it's one common. So it means you have the Lord and then His energies.
Yeah. So if you say, like, this particular philosophy of Mayavad is very simple, because it has nothing.
It's simple because it has nothing.
Just nothingness.
Yes, but because they are intellectuals, they will through anuman, you know, through inference, then they'll create this whole thing so it looks like there's something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. That's the way it goes. That's just how people deal, is that you have something that's important to you, even if it's nothing, you'll make it into something really important. Like, you know, why I should do something. That may be not the ideal thing or the best thing or that. You know, it's like, it's a codicil, why you should go to Calcutta. You know, oh, and this and that and all things. And then ultimately, if that doesn't work, that the practical side, then, you know, oh, you know, is how you say, you know, it's a service to Krishna, that's the highest and all this and that. But you look at it, is it about the service or is it about you want to go to Calcutta? You know, does that make sense? And so all that works very good until you point out, well, you go to Calcutta, what will you eat? Then at that point they go, oh yeah, I could go on Wednesday. Yeah, that would be a better day. You know, and then it's the end. So that's the whole thing, is that they create this whole thing, you know, by the intellect. That's the point. So they create this whole thing by that, others by their particular attachment. So the karmis, by their attachment to things, and the jnanis, by their rejection of everything. They just create something out of nothing. So all there is Krishna and his energies and knowledge about Krishna and how he controls his energies. That's all there is. There isn't something else. But they try to make it look like Krishna has nothing to do with this. Right? It's my knowledge that therefore I'm now advancing, or it's because of my good work, my pious work, therefore I have all my facility. It's nothing to do with Krishna, even though what they're working with is Krishna, the rules governing it is Krishna, the rituals that are recommended are Krishna, the results you can get by performing those rituals are Krishna. They will still say it's because of my work.
So, as you said, the general Hindus, they have religion, but not the philosophy.
Yes.
Therefore, they go into speculation.
Yes, yes. That means they don't have, because they don't really put so much on it. You have those who follow a strict philosophy. But basically, from if they, that, then that, if you're looking at it that way, getting that to specific, means the principle of what you're saying is good. While others, then they just speculate, mm-hmm. you know, and there's not the religion. So, but in here is as we saw, is that religion means that which is established by the Vaishnava tradition. Mm-hmm. That's religion. That's philosophy. And so. That's the whole point. Is so they may accept, let's say the Hindus are accepting the religion of the Vaishnavas, but not the philosophy. And then the Westerners will accept the philosophy, but not the religion. Like for the Hindus, you talk Varnashram day and night, and they're quite happy. You get into philosophy, you know, that it's not all one, and they get bent out of shape. And the Westerners, as long as you talk philosophy, they're cool. And as soon as you bring up Varnashrams, hey, we're not this body problem. You know? So. But this claim is not substantiated by taking the natural meaning of the scriptures, right? If you take the direct meaning, the Abhida, you know, meaning, it means the direct meaning, then it comes up as devotional service. Thus, Parasara stated correctly that Brahman is the abode of all Shaktis. Everything is latent in him, right? So, impersonal means it's latent, because personal means it manifests. So, Brahman means it's unmanifest. But the point is, if the Shakti is not there, pervading it, how does it manifest? Unless clay has the potency within it to be a pot, how do you make a pot out of clay? It's not that you make the pot and then the Shakti is there. It's because the Shakti is inherent in the clay. Therefore, you can make a pot out of it. Footnote 19. Sarva Shakti Nilaye. Vishnu Purana 6.8.57. The one entity is to be known as inconceivable and is delineated as such in the Shrutis. Having many Shaktis, he has six qualities or bhagas, starting with Aishwarya, which are intrinsic in him. Because of this, that single entity, known as Bhagavan, is also called Advaya Jnana, one entity with intrinsic qualities. So Advaya meaning non-differentiated doesn't mean that there aren't intrinsic qualities. Right? So Advaya means everything is him. He is everything. But it's not that there's not variety within that. Therefore, there's himself, there's his energies. Within his energies, then you have internal, external, and marginal. Within himself, then he has himself as the origin, his expansion, his incarnation, like that, in some sense. Yeah. Hence, Panchatattva. Yeah. Since the Supreme Brahman has his qualities internalized, he is self-manifesting and not unconscious. Right? So, all the qualities are his. He's self-manifesting. It's not that we make the manifestation. The Lord's quality of having the power, I guess, of revelation, like light, is not a form of ignorance mentioned just as praise. So that's what they're saying. It's just in ignorance we say all these praises so that you'll, you know, look in that direction. But actually, then it's all. That's the problem. Even they're trying to glorify the Supreme. They insult them. That's why it says that, Mayavadi hoy, Krishna aparad. They're just offenders from every point. Even they're trying to be nice, they're offensive. You know? Does that make sense? You know. Yeah. So it's just that's what they do. That's what they do best.
Yes. Basically they say that God doesn't exist.
Yeah, God doesn't exist. Somehow or another they exist and you should listen to them. But you know, yeah. It doesn't make sense. So when you function on this level, it's much more clear because you're just being at the basis. So then you can see what they're talking about is wrong and what's right. But then when you go down to the details of this, it's just bewildering because it just makes no sense. Though he is not subject to material senses, he reveals the senses and manifests to the senses with his sarup. So he reveals the forms, the name forms, qualities of things in the material world. He reveals that. And through that, now we can understand his original. He reveals through using that in connection with him. Does that make sense? So he's manifesting the senses. And then if you use the senses according to the direction given by the acharyas and scripture, then with devotion, then now he'll reveal himself through that usage of our senses, right? Like bhakti, devotional service means you're engaging the senses in the service of the Lord of the senses. Right? Does that make sense? So even though it is, you could say it's maya, but it doesn't mean it's not real. The maya is the illusion that it's not Krishna, that it's for us to enjoy. But when we take the same item and offer to Krishna, then it's no longer maya. Now it becomes devotional service. So he manifests the external senses for us, you know, because his senses are always there. And then by that, then we are able to perceive him, his senses, his sarup, by following the devotional process. So, yeah. So we can see is that this is, like it said before, this is how you measure everything, how it's functioning in this process. You know, because yukta means that it's connected. So when the senses are connected to Krishna, right? Does that make sense? Because karma yoga means it's connected to me, and then I connect it to Krishna. Right? You know, sakam. Nishkam means it's about Krishna. But it's in the context of myself and my particular senses that I have. Which is not really a problem, but it's still a bit external. That's why even the Varnashram is called external by Lord Chaitanya. Because why are we following? You know, let's say someone is doing brahminical activities because of his Varnashram nature. Why is he doing brahminical activities? That's his nature. But who's his? Who's him? It's the body. So it's still external. But what other thing do you have? Because you don't have your spiritual form. Because Mother Jashoda, it's her nature that she has that form. For us, it's not our nature. That's why it's external. But it's not to be rejected. It just means that's not where the taste lies. Right? Engaging the nature in Krishna's service, that then becomes. Not that I'm doing the service and then that result is given to Krishna. Okay, it has that devotion. But I'm engaging myself in Krishna's service. That's where it lies. You say, myself, I'm doing service. I'm trying to do everything to Krishna. It happens to be in this form as a Brahman or Kshatriya Vaishya, like this. So that's the mistake, is that it's taken, oh, it's external, we just throw it out. Then what are you left with? Nothing. You know, so unless you're on Dune and you're one of those brains and that formaldehyde or something, then you need to do something. Right? They even sit around and think and move around. Right? He sometimes manifests himself even to unconscious objects having no senses. Right? So then you see is that in the past times, so many different, you know, everything is absorbed in Krishna. When the cows wander into the mountainsides and Krishna calls out to them with the sound of his flute, the trees and creepers in the forest respond by becoming so luxuriant with fruits and flowers that they seem to be manifesting Krishna spread everywhere. Within their hearts. As their branches bend low with the weight, the filaments on their trunks and vines stand erect out of prema, and both the trees and creepers shower sweet sap. So you know Krishna's around. At that time, the rivers stop flowing. Their water, stunned by the ecstasy they feel as they eagerly wait for the wind to bring them the dust of his lotus feet. But, like us, the rivers are not very pious. And thus they merely wait with their arms trembling out of love. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-7 and 9. So it means the gopis are saying this. It's talking about these Krishna and the transcendental ecstasies, but like us, then they're just standing there and there's no Krishna.
The question is about Shantaras. Here we find that these rivers, flowers, everybody, they are reciprocating with Krishna.
Yes.
They are in the Shantaras and they're exhibiting the prema that they have towards him. On the other hand, we also have the Brahmavadis, such as the Chatukumar, and even they are in the Shantaras. But they have only appreciation that everything is in connection with Krishna.
Why don't they have appreciation? Why do you think these trees and rivers aren't in Shantaras? They're in the same rasa.
Yeah, they're in the same rasa. But here they're exhibiting the prema for Krishna. However, the impersonalist or the Brahmavadis, they know everything is Brahman. They are self-realized. They know that Aham Brahmasmi is correct and everything is Brahman. But they are also in the Shantaras, but only in the platform of knowledge.
No, but you see, you're making a mistake here. You're taking Brahman realization and Shantaras and making them as synonyms.
It's not so.
No. Shantaras means you appreciate Bhagavan. Brahman realization means of the impersonalist simply means they realize everything is Brahman, but they don't know they don't know the person, so they only see things from the Brahman platform. So everything that has a form, it's all Brahman, right? That's why when they run down the path, they don't bump into trees. You know, there's not a problem that Brahman has variety, but that's all it is. They're only appreciating the Brahman aspect. So Shantaras means is that you're situated in that Brahman aspect, but you see it connected to the person. The person is the source of that. And so you're appreciating that platform. And so then, therefore, there's the aspect of prema. Or the ecstasy. Yes?
Jiva Goswami mentions that in this transcendental realm, in the Vaikuntha and beyond, the Shantaras doesn't exist on its own. It exists as in connection with other rasas.
Yes.
Like in now Goloka, all the rasas exist in connection with the prema, the ujjwala rasa. That's how.
Okay, so that's how they're tasting that.
Yes.
Okay. Because it's in connection with us. Because it's passive, so it has to be connected to something. So other devotees are doing something. Like Krishna is playing the flute connected to who? The cows. So therefore now all the trees and rocks and that and river are getting the ecstasy because of his interaction there. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why he puts it on that they're on that platform of prema, but they're not. Yeah, because the point is because it's whatever they're doing, their rasa is connected with those that are on that platform, therefore they're experiencing that. But it's always in connection. Well, the gopis, they could just be interacting and there could be no parents, no cowherd boys, no servants like that. They're not worried about, you know, anything else. Does that make sense? So that's why then it says there's five rasas, but then they also say that there's four, you know. Because those that are active, the passive is in context of the active, in its relationship with the active. Okay. His qualities, bhaga, are self-manifesting. This is made clear in Vishnu Purana by calling the quality superior knowledge. Sridhar Swami says the same in his explanation to the following verse. Everlasting attainment of the Lord through absorption is considered to be the medicine which produces a condition of intense bliss and happiness. Vishnu Purana 6.5.59. Attainment of the Lord has one quality as its nature, bhava, which is happiness, endowed with extreme joy. Attainment of the Lord is eternal, atyantiki, and attained only by steady absorption in Him, ekanta. Has to be, it's just about Him. So they have exclusive monism, we have exclusive absorption in Krishna. Right? So their one, they never get out of the material world, and ours takes us to the spiritual platform, you know, the spiritual world, to interact personally with Krishna. It is not temporary like the results of karma with irregularity in the sacrifices. Right? So there's no the tasting of ecstasy by the devotees is the same, of the same quality. It's not that it goes up and down. There may be variety within that taste. But it's not that sometimes they taste prema and sometimes not. Thus, the learned must take care to attain him. Right? So just to understand Brahman, understand his greatness, how he can creates, maintains, and destroys, that's not enough. You have to attain the person. Right? From whom all things are coming. So he's the one that you have to get to. So it's not about all things are coming. That's the important part. It's the person from whom all things come.
So, Chaturshloki says up to this.
Right? Yes, up to this. Yes, that he is that he is everything. He is what's in everything that makes it all attractive and all work. But at the same time, is the person he's beyond. Right? So that's what must be always. That must be attained. Right? At all times, all places, all circumstances, indirectly, indirectly, that person. So, yeah. The means of attaining the Lord is described in this verse. Oh, yes. Thus the learned must take care to attain him. O great sage, the cause of attaining him is knowledge and actions with purified existence. Vishnu Purana 6560. Right? So, knowledge and actions with purified existence is bhakti. Right? Because we're talking about of attaining him. We're not talking about just getting to the heavenly planets or Satyaloka or anything like that. We're talking, because that, then you have the actions and knowledge connected with Brahmaloka, then you can get to Brahmaloka. Right? But those ones that attain him means that, that knowledge and actions have to be in devotion. Right? So that's the meaning there. Right? Not that knowledge and actions are purifying, it's those done in devotion, that's what's purifying. The means of attaining the Lord is described in this verse. Karma, which purifies existence, and jnana, which is a direct means. Aga moktam vivekach cha dvidha jnanam tadoch jate. Knowledge is of two types, from scriptures and by discrimination. Vishnu Purana 6561. Right, so, therefore, if it's just by discrimination, without scriptures, that's your ascending process. Or even you're approaching the scriptures, but it's through what you can perceive, that's what you're going to deal with only. Then it will have a weakness. Then from scriptures means that shabda, that is the basis, and based on that, that's then what you endeavor for. You try to understand according to how the shastra is explaining it. That's then coming from the descending. And then you'll be able to discriminate. So hearing from scriptures, applying that, then you'll be able to discriminate. Right.
Among the six schools, only in the Vedantic, that Vaishnava Vedantic, that the first type from scriptures is very prominent, and the other one is used as a subordinate. For other schools, the second one is prominent, they use scriptures as subordinate like that.
Basically. That's why I said that, that was it, the Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, that says that in this age, only that which is revealed by the Vaishnava Acharyas and the Vaishnava scriptures, only these are actually, you know, of any use. Like that.
Real. Second means anuman?
Sorry?
Second means anuman?
Means discrimination, means pratyaksha and anuman, yes. Both of those. And then shabda will be the first. So, in other words, shabda is one type of knowledge, and then anuman and pratyaksha are the second type of knowledge. So, if you're starting from scriptures, and then applying the scriptures so it comes down to you're discriminating so you can see how to apply it, then that has a value. But, if in doing so, we, you know, miss out on this. Thank you. Okay.
Is that the one?
Yes. No, it's another one.
Different one.
Yeah. It just says that whatever the Vaishnava Charya is. But this is important. By studying the six philosophical theories, one cannot reach the absolute truth. It is therefore our duty to follow the path of the Mahajanas, the authorities. Whatever they say should be adopted as the supreme truth. Yeah, I'm not sure. There's another one. It was one of our. I think it was in. It may have been the last verse in Ramananda Rai's conversation. We're putting together all kinds of verses that you guys get to memorize.
Overall verse, like synopsis, you know, everything together.
Yes. So, have it soon, and then you'll get it. Okay. Then it is said, Shabda Brahma Gama Mayam. Shabda Brahma Gama Mayam Param Brahma Vivekajam. Shabda Brahman is knowledge obtained by scriptures, and Para Brahman is knowledge attained by discrimination. Knowledge of Brahman is attained by scriptures, Shabda through hearing. For instance, one develops knowledge of Brahman by hearing. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Brahman is eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.2. This is called Agamota Jnanam.
These are the verses explaining the Anandamaya Purusha. So, I think in this context, the discrimination means trying to understand the inner meaning of the.
But how we replied it there, that will apply. But now they're bringing it to a higher level. Whereas if you just take the scriptures and just the words of the scriptures and try to understand from there, you'll only understand Brahman. But now when you apply that with devotion, then you'll be able to discriminate and see the application of that into your life in devotion. Then you can actually see the Lord Himself. So it's fun how in one it works one way is the higher, and the other it works the opposite. You know, because that's what we're saying. You'll be able to directly perceive with your senses the Lord. So then it seems it's the opposite of before, that you can't perceive with the sense. With devotion, then you can. You found it? Oh, you don't have the shlokas with you?
I found another one that might be, but I think this is from Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya.
But does it say that in this age only the Vaishnavas, the scriptures, and the Vaishnav, you know, what the Vaishnavas say and what they write is Vaishnav philosophy? Okay. This one, I hadn't seen that one before. He's just saying that if the Vaishnavas haven't presented it, it's not going to get you back to Godhead, basically. Parabrahma, which manifests in meditation, in the consciousness of Atma, separate from the body, is called Vivekajam Jnanam. Brahman itself is also called knowledge, since Brahman carries out the functions of knowledge. So, from the Brahman platform, therefore, knowledge is functioning. That's the mechanics, how it works. All the knowledge is there, the qualities are there. But then there's the person who's manifesting this. Does that make sense? So that'll be the Parabrahman. Right? So, then in this way, then, is that... Okay, so then this is going back into this. It means if we're taking... This is all going off the Vishnu Purana verse, no?
Yes.
So then, the cause of attaining him is knowledge and actions which purify existence. So then if you're only using knowledge, you'll understand Brahman. If you're using actions which purify existence, with that discrimination, devotional service, then you'll know Parabrahman, or the person. Yeah? Knowledge of Brahma is produced by hearing Shabda. That by that one removes ignorance and attains the Lord. What is the use of knowledge arising from discrimination? Viveka jam jnanam. Right? So now they're showing just if you're just going to, does that make sense? So the problem is you have an overlap of terms here.
Yes.
is that the discrimination, if you're using it as mental speculation or sensual knowledge, that won't get you the Lord. But now when that same knowledge is then applied through the same senses and the same processes, but in devotion, that will get you the Lord. That's why the devotional process isn't understood by people. Because applied in one way, it gets one thing. And then with devotion, it gets something else. Does that make sense? That's why it's hard to see, because we want everything to just go in one direction. Isn't there a group or something called One Direction?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, someone has this. Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, that's the thing. Okay. That's Maya, right?
Right.
Yeah. Just as ignorance arises from dense darkness, knowledge arises from the senses like a lamp. However, knowledge arising from discrimination is like the sun. Vishnu Purana 6.5.62. So, you have, is like a lamp, but then discrimination of the sun, so you can tell the difference, that the Lord is one, but he has variety. That's then like the sun. Right? You don't use this discrimination, you just have the knowledge, then you understand him as transcendental, as Brahman. Manu agrees with these two types of knowledge. That's interesting. Manur, up yet.
We have skipped ignorance. Previous slide. Ignorance.
Oh, okay. So this is his explanation of the verse, because it has the same words in it, so I just went to it. Ignorance spreads a covering like dense darkness. Knowledge arising through the senses, like a lamp, does not destroy ignorance. Or does not destroy ignorance completely, and is subject to assumptions. However, knowledge arising from discrimination destroys all ignorance, just as the sun destroys all darkness. Okay, Manu agrees with these two types of knowledge. Manur apyaha vedartam smitva cha muni sattama. Tade chach truyatam atra sambhande gadato maya. Manu spoke. Or right, he could have smoked, right? You know, a lot of people got smoked. Yeah. Manu spoke about this after remembering the meaning of the Vedas. Hearing about this as explained by me. Vishnu Purana 6.5.63. In relation to this, he says, Dve Brahmani Vedi Tavye Shabda Brahma Param Chayat Shabda Brahmani Nishnata Param Brahmadi Gachati. One should know Brahman of two types, Shabda Brahman and Parabrahman. Being fixed in Shabda Brahman, one attains Parabrahman. So, therefore, by applying Shastra, then in devotion, then we can know the Supreme. But unless you're fixed in Shastra, how are you going to know the Lord? Because otherwise you'll speculate. So in other words, when you apply the discrimination based on Shastra and devotion, then it will get you somewhere. If you apply it based on Shastra and without devotion, then you'll get within the six schools. It'll still be within the Vedic context. But it won't be actually obtaining what it's for.
It's that one.
Aha. Yes. And this is to Ramananda Rai.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is discussions with Ramananda Rai. In this age, what is it? A Kali Kale R Nahi Kono Dharma Vaishnavera Vaishnava Shastra A. Kahe Marma. In this age of Kali, there are no genuine religious principles other than those established by Vaishnava devotees and the Vaishnava scriptures. This is the sum and substance of everything. Madhya Leela 9.3.62. Being fixed in Shabda Brahman by hearing, one attains Para Brahman by Vivekaja knowledge. Vivekaja. Okay, so just hearing, then that's the Agamotta Jnana. The knowledge to attain Para Brahman and the activity leading to knowledge is described. This is approved by Shruti. So that's why it seems contradictory. Our Prabhupada is talking about, you know, the devotees, let's just for example, follow Varnashram. I mean, human life starts with Varnashram. And then he'll say, you know, how important it is. Then he'll give a whole paragraph explaining how to avoid misusing it. Otherwise, then it's useless. So then if he is contradictory, so the devotees will just take, oh, it's useless. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that it's that you have to, based on Shastra, but just only doing that and applying material discrimination, then you can only get as high as Brahman. But when you apply that discrimination from coming down from the acharyas and devotion, then you'll realize Para Brahman. Does that make sense? There are two types of knowledge to be known. This is stated in Atharva Veda. By the superior knowledge, one attains Brahman. The knowledge contained in Rig Veda, action, is inferior. Vishnu Purana 6565. Yes. So knowledge, Vidya, here means the two parts of the Veda concerning Brahman and action to attain Brahman. The part concerning Brahman is called superior, paraya, and explains the akshara Brahman. The part concerning karma, brahmana, sannyas, etc., described as rigvedadi, is described as inferior since it's available during sadhana. Right? So now here we're even taking these things because we're talking about, because Brahman, as we discussed before, because this is Bhagavat Sandarbha, means the person who is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Right, so the supreme, the absolute truth, how it's pervading and everything like that. That knowledge, that's Brahman. So it's the person who is Brahman. So here, then, their meaning when they say Brahman, you should know Brahman is of two types, right? Shabda Brahman and Para Brahman. So if you're only dealing with the external aspect, you know, through karma and all that, you'll get up to that platform. You can just know Brahman of this world within that context, or you can only understand up to the impersonal Brahman. But then when you apply it in devotion, like that application, that will then bring you to the higher. Does that make sense? So that's why you see isn't here, depending upon what aspect they're bringing out, then they'll say, you know, a particular Veda is superior. Like here is showing the action just given. I mean, what's given this knowledge is superior than the actions given the Rig Veda, right? Because the Rig Veda is what you use to establish the deity in the fire and like that, and do all the rituals. So he's saying this knowledge of the transcendence is superior to the activities of karma, right? It means the karma kanda. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Like that. Does this make sense? So you have to be able to see what they're talking about, and as the different shastras are talking it, they may be using different words in different places, but you can understand it's the same topic. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But because we're used to doing everything by specifically the words themselves, we have a particular meaning for the word. We can't deal that the word has multiple meanings, and therefore in the different contexts, it's being applied, the word's being applied in a different way. Does that make sense? Yes.
It's interesting, Maharaj. In Taittiriya Upanishad, when he's describing the Manomaya Purusha, then Atharva Veda is described as the basis, then Yajurveda as the head, and the Sama and Rig Veda as the left and right arm, and then the Brahmanas as the torso or the essence.
Oh.
Because now you're having that knowledge of the mantra, you're applying.
You're applying to the province, yeah. And then, but then if you deal with the Anandamaya, then that's on a lower platform.
Yeah?
Yeah? Makes sense? No?
It's too complicated.
But the principle of what we are talking about, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's all it is means we get used to sometimes just saying if they're saying Brahman and Parabrahman, then you know Parabrahman means the person. And Brahman simply means understanding transcendence. Then if they're not using the term Parabrahman, but they're talking about the absolute truth, and they say Brahman, that means the person. That's all we're saying. And then if we're saying knowledge and means an action, so if that knowledge is from the Shastra but the action is not about obtaining the Supreme, then it'll only give you material results. But if it's seen in the context of serving the Supreme, then that action is higher. Right? So in other words, it's pointing out action connected to the Supreme is higher than action connected with karma. That's all. Does that make sense? So that's how the same point is being made from different, shastras and different angles, but they're using different terms in each position. Does that make sense? Because it just depends on what is the topic. So if they're talking about Brahman meaning the person, then they're just using the word Brahman. But if they're making a difference between Brahman and Paramatma or Parabrahman, the person, then they'll use it like that. So
it's just a matter of hermeneutics.
Yeah, it's just a matter of the hermeneutics of the particular word at the time. But the point being made is exactly the same. Like that. That's why you see in each thing the thread. So, but sometimes it keeps switching. But the reach of the words would switch it opposite. That's why those who aren't devotees, they get bewildered and they'll say it's contradictory. But for the Vaishnavs, so it's just a different, like that. The partners are calling each other sweetie. They're calling each other sugar. They're calling each other pumpkin. Like that. So now you're saying that now you're calling her a vegetable. I don't like pumpkin. So does that make sense? So that's what's happening. It's just changing the application. So it's like the parents talking about the kids. It's like you have two parents. And they're talking about the kids, right? They love the kids. And they're talking, someone asks you, what were the monsters up to today? But it's out of affection. But someone else says, monsters? How can you call them monsters?
I heard
someone
calling them beasts. Feed the beasts,
yeah. Well, when it comes to food, then you would feed the beasts, yeah.
It was about the husband, too.
Yeah, yeah. No, that, he goes in the same category. Whatever works for the son, that works for the husband, right? Yeah. Like that. Daughters, then if it was only daughters, you probably wouldn't say feed the beasts. Like that.
Monkeys.
Huh?
Monkeys.
Monkeys, oh, okay. Girls are monkeys. Oh, okay.
Monkeys are monkeys.
Okay. Yeah, that's ankle biters. I heard a lot was rugrats.
The same principle applies from the progression from third chapter to fifth of Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, okay. So they're switching the meanings, how the words are used.
Yeah, because.
Okay, because you're doing karma, then you're doing karma with jnana, and then you're using karma, then you're doing jnana, then you're using them together.
Also, Maharaj, in his book, Renunciation Through Wisdom, Srila Prabhupada is using karma yoga as
bhakti yoga, yes.
But some other time he's using
it as a lower. So, yeah, so it just depends how. Because that's the why there's a confusion is because everything is Krishna, and everything is connected to devotion. So illusion or jiva maya is not seeing it connected to Krishna. And so because of that, then now it takes different meanings depending upon the individual. For one meaning, karma means one thing. For another meaning, karma means something else. But the point is it's action in Krishna consciousness. So if that action means actual physical action or means, in this case, sometimes just having knowledge, developing knowledge, study. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nityananda Gaura Premananda.